Moncrief on News Talk.
I really need your help. I just want Bella to have both her parents. And if Bex gets her way, I'll barely exist in her life. Plus, she calls John Lewis Johnny Lulu.
God, no.
That's outrageous.
Oh, my God.
That's The Revenge Club. You can stream the entire series now on Paramount Plus. James Dempsey joins us once again to tell us about it. Afternoon, James.
Afternoon.
So is this a kind of a, well, as the name implies, this is about revenge.
It is about revenge. It is kind of like it's Strangers on a Train meets Rashomon meets a bizarre psychological thriller that I can't really call to mind yet. But okay. Basically, it comes from a book written by J.D. Pennington, who is an author I had never heard of. And then I was not surprised because when I looked up the publishing date of the book, it was published in October. So
wow. Okay. This was made before the book came out.
Yeah. So that was quite a quick turnaround, shall we say. And it is about, as I said, well, as you implied, this group of people who all meet at a divorcee's support group. Mm. And our kind of entry into the group is Amy Fionn Edwards, who's probably best known as one of the slow horses, who I cannot name. She's okay. Not River, put it that way. She's the one with the drug addiction issues, if you know her. And she plays Emily, who is a woman who has everything going for her until she discovers her best friend and her husband are doing what would lead to a divorce, shall we say. And she joins the divorcee group, which is led by a guy named Malcolm. He's played by Amy Cha, who is kind of this like tambourine swinging nice guy, and they all cannot stand the whole support group, and they go to the pub where they unleash a load of vitriol against the various exes who have wronged them for various different ways. You have Mira Sayal as Rita, Martin Compston of Line of Duty as Callum, Douglas Henshall as Steve, a military guy. And probably the standout is Sharon Rooney as Rachel, who secrets are revealed as we go through the show. And they decide to ultimately get revenge on, to begin with, Emily's best friend and ex-husband. And it begins as this kind of like heisty romp, which is actually very, very fun. I mean, okay. I won't go into details of what they're trying to do, but like the revenge is relatively low, you know, low stakes revenge, but kind of fun in a like heisty way where everything has to line up and they have a plan and do things go wrong, of course, et cetera, et cetera. Then the show takes a sort of right turn and heads towards, a framing device of the whole series is that we see Emily being interviewed by police with a few blood stains on her, and they're being very stern going, well, what happened? There's a body, you know, and we are drip fed the kind of background mystery that by the time we actually get to it is actually not that compelling. I much preferred it when it was the low stakes, you know, revenge and a bit of flirting amongst the group and so on and so forth. As it turns into this Rashomon type tale where each member of the group is being interviewed by the police and they're drip feeding us a bit more information. And then we are led down this dead body route. I found it less compelling. But at this time of year, when new shows are few and far between, if you're looking for something relatively diverting to take you to the end of the year, look, the first half is grand, the second half is meh. It was shot in Dublin, so you can spend a lot of time going, oh, look, there's that building I know.
Where is it set, ostensibly?
It's a bit unclear. It's sort of England.
Yeah, a British city.
Unclear.
Yeah.
But I think
the most British city they could find was Dublin.
And what is kind of unusual, right, so we're at this time where, you know, Paramount Plus, you can quote me on this, is a bit of a flop streamer service in the UK and Ireland, right? Yeah. It is cheap because there isn't an awful lot of content on it. The content that comes out is basically, you know, the Yellowverse universe SpongeBob, which is sort of the Yellowstone universe SpongeBob, which, you know, the yellow guy universe. And then South Park, which is like about the only thing worth paying for. And obviously now Paramount have put in this rival bid to Netflix in order to take over HBO. And I am not well versed enough in the business and, you know, antitrust rules to know if that's even going to happen. But as a consumer of both, you know, of Netflix and of Paramount Plus, I'd almost prefer them to pay out more and get a bit more content on my streamer. I know it's a bit more complicated than that.
Yeah.
But like all in, Paramount Plus just remains this one that is lagging behind. It seems further behind. Like to the point that, you know, I much more happily pay for YouTube than I would pay for Paramount Plus, to be honest with you. So this was a kind of nice little thing to come at the end of the year in the sense that it is fun and silly. It runs out of steam about halfway through and it never quite regains the merriment and heistiness of the beginning. But like, yeah, as I said, if you're just looking for something to fill,
fill
your
time.
Empty days.
And so you don't have to think about yourself and your place in the universe. Right, our next show is called Irish Blood. You can stream the first season on Sky Witness and Now TV. Here's a clip.
You've reached Declan Murphy Accounting. Please leave a message.
It's Fiona, your daughter. I got your package. I don't know what this is all about, but after 30 years of no word, Declan, if you want to talk to me...
Right. If you want to talk to me, what? We'll never know. Anyway, the well-known firm of Declan Murphy Accounting there answer machine, so it can't be doing that well. So there, it has been slagged off a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I don't want to be just a contrarian. I didn't like it, but I didn't hate it, right?
Okay.
Now, this has been absolutely and utterly eviscerated in the Irish press. And when I sat down to watch it, I sort of was like, well, what were you expecting, right? It comes from Acorn TV. I mean, you might have heard of Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
Right? Have you heard of Acorn TV? And what I will say, in defense of Acorn TV, of which I have no commercial interest, they are doing their bit to support the Irish film industry because this obviously was filmed in Ireland.
Yeah.
Along with the new greenlit now for a fifth season, Harry Wilde, right? So they are obviously investing a bit of money in Irish productions and credit to that.
Okay.
So who we obviously heard in the clip there is Alicia Silverstone, who is having quite a resurgence in 2025, 30 years after she broke through with Clueless. And like, I've kind of been thinking about her and the, you know, obviously Clueless is this iconic 90s film that really catapulted her into this echelon of stardom that she has never been able to regain. And here in 2025, not only was she in this, which has been a huge hit for Acorn TV, so much so that they've already greenlit a season two that will be made.
Oh, okay.
But she was in Begonia and a few other things as well. So she's had like a real good year. Now, that is not to say that this is good or that she is good at this. But she plays Fiona Fox, who, as we heard in the clip there, is estranged from her father, Declan. He's played in Flashbacks and A Dodgy Wig by Jason O'Mara. And she's growing up in LA when this mysterious package arrives that propels her to go to Wicklow and mostly walk around Bray trying to uncover a mystery, of which I will give no details because it would definitely qualify as spoilers.
Okay.
Now, this is cozy mystery, right?
Yeah.
Like, as in, this is like this. This is the kind of thing that I have watched my entire life on a Sunday evening on the BBC or on ITV. It is like Vera territory. It is Hetty Wainthrop territory, right?
Right.
It is low stakes mystery connected with a few curse words here and there and a bit of like good banter. And I use the word banter reluctantly. Now, most of that comes from the shape of Ruth Codd, the Irish actress who honestly is probably best known for a relatively short-lived stint on The Celebrity Traitors. But she is really good at what she does. She's in a couple of the Mike Murphy horror-y shows, The Fall of the House of Usher being the most recent one, but a bigger role in another one that's name now immediately eclipses me. But she plays Garda Roisin Doherty, who even at one point corrects Fiona Fox's pronunciation of Doherty, which I liked.
Okay.
And there's like a knowing, we all know what we're in on this joke kind of run to the show. Now, is it filled with Irish stereotypes? Of course it is. It is made by foreign company set in Ireland, and that is exactly what they are hamming up for their international audience who are not Irish people. Is it bad enough for us to get worked up about? Absolutely not. It is perfectly fine, silly, you know what, I would say it's occasionally enjoyable mystery stuff that calls in things like Shergar and underground MMA fighting and all the kinds of things you'd see in Bray.
Bray is well known for that. Yeah. If they've commissioned a second series of this, like it's Irish Blood 2, does she go back to Wicklow to bust a team of drug dealers, or?
So, yeah, so like, I feel like, so they do end on a cliffhanger of sorts that would potentially propel the mystery onto a second season. All in, you know, there's a few romantic subplots that are unfinished in the first season that I can see them leaning into in the second. I guess we're, one thing I'll say is Fiona, a cottage comes into Fiona's hands in throughout the show, and I can see her setting up base in this, miserable grey-skied looking time of the year that they shot it in. But all in, look, a winner for this is Ireland, right? It is a huge success. It has been a huge success for Acorn TV. It has reportedly driven subscriptions of the service. I don't know what those numbers mean in real terms, but so much so that Acorn TV, it is perhaps the most popular show on their streaming service ever. And look, that can do no bad to the Irish coffers at all.
Hmm. Can you understand why it's the most... it kind of feels like, from your description, it's kind of TV movie of the week kind of territory. Kind of Christmas movies you see lots of at this time.
I wouldn't put it in that kind of category. It is a serialized story that follows the same mystery across all six of the episodes. But it is more like, it is cozy mystery where you don't ever feel like the stakes are really very, very high. That's not to say that there's no body count. Like, there is a body count.
Okay.
It's kind of like Midsummer Murder style, like if that was one extended mystery, get me, across 6 weeks, rather than let's solve this one and not ask why so many people are being killed in this small village.
Well, they should ask Garda Roisin Doherty to solve the case. Right, our third show is Man vs. Baby. You can stream the entire series now on Netflix. Here's a clip.
Oh my goodness.
Hello. Good morning.
Oh, he's so darling. What's his name?
Jesus.
Ooh. How old is he?
About 3 months.
Oh, but he's huge for 3 months.
Yeah. And his name is Jesus? Anyway, right, this is turning into Rowan Atkinson as Man versus various things now.
Yes.
It?
Now, this is only the second iteration of it, and I don't know if a third one will come because the gaps between them are quite big. Man versus B was the first one that was released in 2022, and that's a kind of very disjointed show where he plays this character, Trevor Bingley, who is a professional house sitter. And in that iteration, he's house sitting when a bee enters the house, and in all of his attempts to try and get rid of this bee, ultimately destroys the house. Yes. So it is that kind of physical comedy for which Rowan Atkinson obviously is internationally known as Mr. Bean, but with dialogue thrown in as well. And here it's Man versus Bee. I can only assume Man versus Brexit is coming next. I don't know, in 2029. So after a 3-year gap, it returns in a more coherent kind of show. Man versus Bee has like 10-minute long episodes, and maybe, you know, and it's spread out over, you know, obviously 9 or something. Mm. Here we get 4 parts that are about roughly a half hour each. Now, it does rely massively on Rowan Atkinson's physical comedy, for which obviously he became this huge iconic character of Mr. Bean in the 80s, 90s, and he can do that with his eyes closed. But here they up the ante by, instead of obviously having a bee, they have a baby. So where we find him at the beginning, he is a caretaker in a primary school. There's a live action cast put in their nativity play, including a baby who then gets left behind for reasons that serve the plot but are a bit dubious. And he is then left holding this baby over Christmas time. He then also takes a job house sitting this, palatial penthouse apartment in London. So it is about trying to both manage the house and manage the baby at the same time. Now, it includes a whole cast of other British character actors and comedians you'd know, who all essentially play the straight man against his kind of trying to hide the baby and trying to, you know, put the nappy away and find his dogs, or find the shoe that's been bitten off by a dog. And all in, I think, like, this is a show that is trying to appeal to every single generation of your family at one time at Christmas. But for me, I don't think it works quite well across 4 parts. I think, like, if it was maybe one 40-minute long episodes rather than 2 hours, because the joke wore a little thin for me, with my cynical, you know, 30-something eyes by the time I was watching it.
Yeah.
I thought it was just kind of ran out of steam towards the end. But I could see if you had a whole family around the Christmas tree and you were looking for something totally inoffensive, then this is the way to go.
And there's no kind of discomfort about why does this man have a baby? There isn't like a massive manhunt across the country looking for a missing baby.
There both is and isn't. There definitely is an acknowledgement that, like, why does this random man have a baby? And then I guess it really explores how, you know, years of austerity has decimated the UK's social services network and how they are able to deal with this, because they are the most hapless, useless people that he ever encounters as well. But no, they do acknowledge that. We don't ever quite get to grips with whose baby it is. That is not a spoiler. That's okay. Sort of just left hanging. So maybe that's where they're going with.
Okay, that's a
with part
and,
three.
And do they address the kind of the last time you had a job, house sitting, you destroyed the house? How come he's still getting this kind of work?
Yes, again, not very well, just to sort of service the plot, because they know they want to get him in this palatial, you know, penthouse. They don't quite explain very well how they, you know, how the company has sort of forgiven him for his completely complete ineptitude the previous time around. But the whole point is, you know, the original show started as a COVID project, as in we'll just put him in a house with a CGI bee and then we don't have to worry about social distancing and testing and so on. Obviously, this time around, there's a more full cast around him, but the star of the show is Atkinson and his ability to make faces and squirm his body in unusual ways and reach for things and so on. And he is very good at that.
He is indeed. So, someone says, I watched 5 minutes of Irish Blood and had to turn it off. So, well, it was 5 minutes, so you got the gist of it anyway. Right, so those three shows are The Revenge Club. You can stream the entire series now on Paramount Plus. Irish Blood, of which one listener watched 5 minutes. You can stream the entire first season now on Sky Witness and Now TV. And Man vs. Baby, you can stream the entire series now on Netflix. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.